This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
An excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive. It's alive!
Groovy. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today on Oh the Horror, a horror movie podcast looking at stuff from an expert and a newcomer's perspective. I'm Rob Holmes, the expert. Our newcomer, Steve Allman, is actually sick right now. He says he feels fine, but his voice, he says, sounds like he's going through puberty all over again. Just talked to him a moment ago, and yes, it does. So the movie that we are going to be talking about today is 2010's Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, directed by Eli Craig. Eli Craig has done a couple of other things. You may have seen Little Evil, which is a Netflix film that he recently directed. And he also did the pilot for the Zombieland TV series that was supposed to go on Amazon back in 2013. They did the pilot for that, but it wasn't picked up for series. Anyway, the film we're talking about today is 2010's Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. I am a huge fan of this film. I remember when it was about to come out into theaters, or not into theaters, but when I had first heard about it online, it was going through the festival circuit. And I think actually before it had hit the festival circuit, they were still working on it and trying to get everything together. But I remember they were talking about, they showed raw footage of some of these clips of some of the kills. Because as you know, if you've seen this, and dear God, I hope you've seen this if you're listening to this, it is a very gory, over-the-top film. Basically, the premise of this is there's Tucker and Dale, played by Tyler Labine and Alan Tudyk. Basically, so Alan Tudyk is Tucker and Tyler Labine is Dale. They are two West Virginian hillbillies who are going out to their own kind of vacation home, which is a cabin from old hillbilly serial killers that they just kind of assume is weird decoration in there, and they think that they've just got all this stuff that came with it. They end up encountering a bunch of teenagers. Now, these teenagers, college kids, basically, they end up assuming that Tucker and Dale, because of the way that they look, are psychopath, inbred, chainsaw-wielding rednecks. Like, that's the thing. They automatically are like serial killers. And when one of their friends ends up hitting their head when Tucker and Dale are out fishing, they end up rescuing her and are like, hey, we have your friend. But these kids are so in their own world, they think that Tucker and Dale have kidnapped her and are going to murder her. And through a comedy of errors, these kids try to attack them and end up killing themselves in a variety of amazing ways. Like, it is very, very ridiculous and over the top, but it's very fun the entire time. Like, I had a blast with this movie. You know, some of the characters aren't fully fleshed out, but you know, in any of these type of films, that happens. Your main two of the kids that are fleshed out is Allison, played by Katrina Bowden, who we all remember as Ceri from 30 Rock, and Jesse Moss, who plays Chad. I gotta say, like, Jesse Moss is great as the character of Chad. He plays this character so well, and you get this cool arc of, you think he's gonna be this, I mean, you kind of see he's this douchebag character right from the start, and he has this hero complex, like he thinks he needs to be the good guy, and then by the end of it, it twists into him being the full-fledged big bad of this film. And I love the makeup effects for his character by the time we get to his full, in a way, transformation. It was just a lot of fun. And then, you know, you have along the way different stylized kills that aren't overly generic, you know, in a lot of slasher films or even parody slasher films, which this I feel pays homage more to that stuff. I don't really see it as parody. I see it as more of kind of a twist on the traditional formula that we see. These kills are so good. Like when the sheriff steps in and gets the giant nails to the face off the board because one of the support beams isn't stable. And I love the joke that they do with that, where there's multiple times where they hit that joke. This is a very well-written script. It understands all of the horror tropes that go into things. That being said, there are some moments in this film that I have a few reservations with. It gets cheesy at times. I think it works for this film. It doesn't get overly cheesy, but it definitely delves into that just a little bit. And then some of the acting is not the best, but from your main characters, it's pretty solid. Some of these side characters, it's a little ridiculous, a little stereotypical of what you would see from, you know, 80s tropes, which may be what, you know, the director was going for. All in all, this movie is a blast. Watching these kids end up killing themselves off, and, you know, Tucker and Dale thinking that they're some sort of cult of kids who have some suicide pact is great. I mean, when one of the characters jumps into a wood chipper and they're trying to dig him out, and then you have, you know, Tucker just being like, "Hey man, are you okay?" The guy's completely obliterated. Blood has sprayed everywhere. Chunks of him are all over one of the girls, who gets hit with the blood and gore repeatedly before she ends up getting finished off. And I think, you know, I would love to see a sequel to Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. Now it's been about 8 years, so it's been a while, but I could see them revisiting the characters of Tucker and Dale. That would be so much fun. And just kind of seeing where it goes from there and what's the next chapter in their story. You know, does Dale and Allison, are they still together? Do they have, like, kids now? I mean, it's been 8 years between stuff. It'd be nice to see what happens from there. Is Chad now finding out that he, you know, is the son of these psycho hillbillies who ended up raping this woman? He's actually the illegitimate son. Like, that, seeing his full transformation and his realization that he actually is the, you know, the son of this redneck, and he's just like, all right, fine, I guess I'm going to embrace that. He gets burned to shit, like he's missing half of his face now, but knowing that he's still alive and killing people, because we get that scene in the beginning where we know he's, the, you know, essentially the killer. It would be so cool to see, you know, there's a sequel with him being the main antagonist again, or somehow he's found maybe weird lost relatives or something, and now there's the new real redneck hillbilly clan of people, and then Tucker and Dale have to go in there and kind of save it. Because I honestly believe, I mean, really honestly, Tucker just wants to have his vacation home, his place that he can call his own. So I think they would actually try and get another one out there, maybe, and kind of start over and be like, hopefully this is different this time and everything's okay. But then, you know, Chad shows up again with his crew of people swearing revenge. That could be a whole lot of fun. And seeing Allison get into it this time, if they brought her back as a character, and she could be maybe the one who finally finishes off Chad. But that's beside the point. Focusing on this film, what's really strange about these films when they come out, and this one's a total indie film out of Canada, I know that the budget on this was pretty low. And there are times where you can see that. Sometimes the quality, the film quality is like really amazing, and the cinematography is fantastic. And other times it has a TV movie feel to it, not necessarily in a bad way, because it's entertaining enough that you can easily forgive that, but it also has that, it kind of reminds me of Ginger Snaps, and the way it goes from feeling like a solid feature film to going into TV movie route, and it almost feels, and I feel this way actually about a lot of Canadian features, and I'm wondering, I don't know if this is true or not, this is just me pontificating. It seems like when they're filming this, because when they're shooting in Canada, a lot of it is overcast there, and you can usually tell, or at least for some reason, there's some correlation with stuff that's filmed in like Vancouver or Toronto with this kind of overcast diffused light, because I'm assuming that they're probably using a lot of that as natural lighting instead of going heavy with studio lights, which is fine and everything, but when they are confined to using studio lights in certain scenes, it makes it just feel strange and kind of takes me out of it a little bit. But that's just me being ridiculously particular about this film in general. Also, there's some scenes of CG. I'm not a CG person. I never have been. Like, there are times that it's fine when I don't notice it, but most of the time I'm going to notice it. And there were a couple of moments in Tucker and Dale where the CG is very obvious, and it's a couple of blood splatters here and there. But then you have these amazing practical effects. So seeing those things, and it just kind of takes me out of it a bit when I know that it all could have been done practically. But then again, I think about what was the budget. Even just getting a film like this made is an amazing feat. And doing it as well as Eli Craig did, I have to say that, it's one of my modern favorites. And it's hard to believe that this movie is actually from 2010. To me, it just seems like it came out just a few years ago, because it still feels so fresh. And, you know, this is a film that a lot of my friends and I talk about all the time when we're talking about horror and solid modern horror. Tucker and Dale vs. Evil comes up. And for a lot of people who aren't into horror films, if you want to get your friends into seeing something that is over the top and splatter filled, this is a good one to do that with. It has a ton of over the top kills, but at the same time, it's so funny and so ridiculous. And especially like that one part where the kid just grabs the sheriff's revolver, and Dale's just like, "Hey man, you got to turn the safety off," and the kid shoots himself in the face. Like, all I could think of when I'm watching that moment is Planet Terror from Grindhouse, where, you know, it's like the mother's like, "All right, just be careful and don't play with that. It's a gun." Next thing you know, the kid just shoots himself in the face. It's one of those moments where you're just like, oh man, I can't believe they just did that. I'm glad that they did that, because it's what you would expect to happen in that type of comedy of errors. And watching these kids just kind of Darwin themselves, you know, they all get the best Darwin awards ever for like jumping in a wood chipper or spearing themselves twice with an actual spear and just running into a sharpened tree branch, because they assumed the worst and they jump automatically because of this. You know, you have Chad basically instilling fear into all of these guys, saying, yeah, it's probably all serial killers. And when they want to leave, he's like, yeah, and we're going to go fight these serial killers and we're going to go kill them ourselves, because that's what we should do, because Chad's insane. And as we know, the bastard son of a crazy hillbilly who killed college kids one day. And if you haven't seen it and you're just listening to this because, hey, you wanted to listen to something and didn't care that I said there would be spoilers in it, well, too bad. You're not getting all the spoilers, because you need to see this film. You need to experience Tucker and Dale versus Evil. This is going to be a really short one today. You know, hopefully Steve feels better. And we are going to tackle our next film, which looks like it's going to be 2017's The Babysitter. Thanks again for listening, guys, and until next time, this has been Oh the Horror.
Look at me, Damien! It's all for you!
Horror.
Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
Horror.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.